Our governor calls Utah the startup capital of the world. And it tracks. We've got a fast-growing, well-educated population and a buzzing economy. And just last week, Utah unveiled the Startup State Initiative, a resource portal for entrepreneurs. From step-by-step guides to a business plan generator, startup.utah.gov is now the first stop for starting or growing a business here. That's startup.utah.gov.
Here's what Salt Lake's talking about. The days are getting longer. The weather is hopefully getting warmer. Doesn't it just make you want to go to the park? Our big parks have so much to offer. Liberty on the city's east side and Jordan on the west. But today we're highlighting small parks. The ones you may stumble upon by accident and be like, hey, who put this park here? I talked with runner and public spaces enthusiast Bryant Heath last summer about the best pocket parks. It's Wednesday, March 15th. I'm Emily Means, and this is CityCast Salt Lake. Bryant Heath, we are in a beautiful park on a beautiful day in Salt Lake City. Thanks so much for meeting me here.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Do you often meet strangers in parks?
No, I do not often meet strangers in parks.
Well, thanks
for a special circumstance.
Thanks for taking a chance on us. All right, your claim to fame is like a pretty solid claim to fame. In 2020, you ran every street in Salt Lake City, and then you just kept on running.
That's right.
Just like Forrest Gump, you ran every street in Mill Creek and Holiday and South Salt Lake, and now you're working on West Valley. Why do you do this thing?
That's a great question, one I get asked a lot. Really, the main reason is I just like urban exploration and seeing new things, and what better way to do that than navigate all the streets in a particular area?
Okay, so I would guess that most people haven't seen Salt Lake in the way that you have by traversing it on foot. How has that changed your perspective of the city?
Right. I would say most people, you know, they kind of stick to their normal commute, go the same kind of roads, you know, eat at the same restaurants, go to the same shops, and maybe just have a little bit of a bubble that they kind of live in. And so whenever you kind of go outside the city and kind of break that bubble, it's just always an interesting time. And you'll be surprised just like what you kind of come across.
So I'm guessing that's how you discovered pocket parks. First of all, how would you personally define a pocket park?
Great question. I would say this is not the official definition, so apologies to anyone who works in the parks department, but how I would define it as it needs to be a small park, so none of these larger ones like Liberty or Sugar House or even medium-sized ones like Fairmont. So you're looking at maybe a couple acres at best. It kind of needs to be isolated a little bit, you know, housed within a neighborhood, away from other kind of green spaces. So there's a couple of parks that are along the Jordan River, adjacent to like Jordan Park, that I wouldn't necessarily classify. And lastly, I would say there needs to be kind of a reason for you to be there, you know, some sort of amenity. Most of the time, I would say playground equipment kind of draws, you know, families in, but it doesn't necessarily have to be like that. There's a variety of amenities. That's one thing I've learned after kind of coming across all of them. And yeah, that's basically what I would define it as.
Had you noticed these parks before you started running?
Absolutely not. Like, I would say I would kind of stick to the major ones, you know, Liberty, Riverside, maybe Sugar House Park as well. And then, you know, you notice the ones near you, but you don't really extrapolate thinking about, hey, man, they're pretty much everywhere. And I think you'd be shocked to find that there's about 115 parks in Salt Lake City.
Really?
Absolutely.
What?
Yeah. And I would say probably over half of them are pocket parks, or what I would consider pocket parks.
So what did you think when you first started discovering these pocket parks?
Well, it kind of broken up the monotony of running all the streets. As you can imagine, you know, it gets a little tiring to see house after house after house. And so whenever you come across these green spaces, it's just a nice little refresher, kind of rejuvenates you to say, oh, this is a nice little area. You make a mental note, and then you can always come back here to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. All right, Bryant, now the big question. We are actually here at your pick for the best pocket park. What is it? What is here? And what makes it the best?
Well, pocket parks in general, I just think that they kind of intersect between recreation and community, maybe some public artwork and history. And the one I think that encompasses that idea the best is this Joseph Steenblick Park out here in Rose Park. For those that are familiar with it, it's also referred to as Cat Park.
Describe Cat Park to us.
Cat Park, it's kind of a small greenish space area. I think it's around 2 acres, and there's a kind of a hedged wall on the north side with four foot, cat statues just kind of observing
they're alert, attentive.
That's right. And just like checking out, making sure there's, what's going on. There's nothing too crazy going on. Just observing, the playground and the benches and the table that we're sitting at here. And the story behind the cats are actually Joseph Steenblick. He used to own a dairy here in Rose Park, and these are dairy cats that would commonly kind of visit that kind of particular area. So I just like this blend of art and a little bit of history, looking into kind of the namesake of the park, as well as it has a great playground for both my 5-year-old and 2-year-old. And it's oftentimes you see people strolling around, walking their dogs. So there's a lot of activity that occurs here. Even though the park itself is rather small, I think I looked it up, it's only about 2 acres itself. There's still a lot of activity usually.
All right. What do you make of these cats, though? Are they menacing? Are they cute? Are they both?
No, I think they're just interesting, to be quite honest. Evidently, they each have a different patina on them to kind of reflect the diversity of the community. So I like that kind of nod. I do like the nod, to Joseph Steenblick and, the business that he was running here back in the mid-1900s. So, I don't know, it's just like something you don't necessarily see every day. I wouldn't say giant statues are unique. We have like Gilgal Gardens, for instance, and also, there's like roller skating birds up in Davis Park, kind of over by the near kind of Sunnyside Park area. So it's like you see some of these statues, but I don't know, these cats particularly call to me, and especially call to my 5-year-old daughter. So
Of course they do. Have you spent a lot of time at this park then?
Absolutely. Yeah, this is a particular favorite of my eldest because she just absolutely loves cats at this stage in her life. And so she always asks to come to Cat Park so she can give each one a hug.
That's very cute, Brian. Has she named the cats?
If it was up to her, it would be probably, Cat, Catty, Catter. She's very much in naming things like that. So no, I don't think she's given a definitive name, but it would be something along those lines.
Why make it difficult, Okay, so Steenblick Park on the west side of Salt Lake. I would call this like solidly Rose Park. Mm-hmm. What are some of your runner-up favorite pocket parks?
Great question. I would say I like Faultline Park. That's kind of over by the U of U campus, particularly because you have a nice view of downtown and the valley. There's also a little bit of public art there. They have a nice placard explaining the faults of the Wasatch, and I learned what a scarp is, and that's basically that hillside that kind of runs directly by it. So that's a really, really great one. Another pocket park I like Kledding Park in the Avenues. It's kind of a micro park. It's basically very, very small, probably a 1/2 acre or less. You can imagine maybe there was a house there at some point in time that they demolished and then kind of put a little green space there. It's a particular fan of my youngest daughter who can kind of maneuver around a little bit more easy. And that one's named after one of the famous architects here, Kledding. He designed the Utah Capitol building. So you'll see this commonly with pocket parks is they're usually named after some sort of important community member.
Yeah.
And it's kind of interesting to kind of dive into the history. So I enjoy that.
Well, also another theme seems to be that you're young children have to like the park. So
For me, with having two young children, but not necessarily the case. Like my personal favorite too. I don't know if it's on the borderline of what one would call a pocket park, but I like the Miller Bird Refuge. That's kind of in the Harvard Yale area. It's basically it goes alongside the Red Butte Creek for just a very, very short duration.
Yeah.
And I know it's popular with bird watchers to kind of just sit and relax and just enjoy the stream and listen to some birds.
Yeah, that one was a secret to me as well. And I felt like I knew Salt Lake pretty well, like I've lived here for more than a decade. But my boyfriend took me to that park, Miller Bird Refuge. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, my God, where are we? Look at this nature in the middle of this urban city. It was so exciting.
It's like a little oasis, and it's unexpected. The entrance is a little bit hidden. And
yeah, so I was like, we definitely shouldn't be back here. But no, you can go there.
If I say to you, I need to improve my posture, chances are you are groaning back at me, ugh, same. And if you're open to changing that, connect with Chandler at Embodied Patience. She teaches the Alexander Technique, an educational method for understanding our movement habits. The Alexander Technique has long been a favorite of stage actors and musicians, people with famously good posture, and now Chandler's practice makes it available to all Salt Lakers. I work at a desk, and I spent a decade sleeping on memory foam. My spine is doing its absolute best. And when I spent an hour with Chandler, I was surprised how easy it actually is to stand up straight, if you're doing it right. There was a weightlessness that I didn't see coming, and very gentle considerations made my arms feel longer and my head feel taller. Visit embodiedpatience.com to connect with Chandler and learn how to move with more ease, less pain, and more joy.
All right, so we did ask some people what their favorite pocket parks were. Let's see what they had to say.
Hey, this is Austin Taylor from the Central City neighborhood of Salt Lake City. I think that our neighborhood has the most pocket parks in the city, and because of that, I'm going to break the rules and choose two of my favorites. My first is the Van Ness Tot Lot. It's the tiniest pocket park you'll ever see, tucked away in the middle of a block between two houses. It's always clean and safe, and it's a great place for me to take my two-year-old son. My second favorite park is the Artesian Well Park. It's an oasis in the middle of an urban neighborhood and a great place for people to meet each other and fill up water. If you haven't been to either of those parks, I hope to meet you guys at the parks. See you later.
So I actually live in Central City, and I've never heard of that first one. Which, have you heard of that one?
I have, yes. I've been there frequently that often because it's a tot park or a tot lot, which is basically a playground that's geared towards toddlers. There's probably about half a dozen that are scattered around the city. And that one's interesting because it's on, you know, there's a handful of Central City streets that kind of just dead end. And that particular part is within one of those kind of dead end roads. And yeah, I like how it's a tot park because my two-year-olds can just run amok and it's easy to watch them because it's a very enclosed area and they have, you know, diminutive slides that they can
use. Yeah. Well, Artesian Wells, I think a lot of people know that one. People drive past it all the time, probably to get to Liberty Park. But I think that's really cool that we just have that option, you know, for fresh and clean and cold water right in the middle of the city.
Well, and that's a great example of kind of a pocket park that doesn't have a playground, but yet it has a reason for people to go there. And, you know, every time I kind of go by there, there's always people filling up, you know, their jugs with water, which I think is encouraging.
Yeah. All right. What's next? Who's next?
Hi, my name is London Lehman. I live in South Salt Lake. However, I used to live in the Avenue. And my favorite pocket park is Dr. Ellis Reynolds Ship Park on 4th Avenue. It's pretty tiny, but has two shady swings, which is what qualifies it as a good park for me. It also honors Dr. Ship, who is one of the first female doctors in Utah, which is pretty neat as well. Thanks. I love the podcast.
That is pretty neat. Do you know that park?
I do know that
park. All right, you know all the parks. Do you think a pocket park should really have like good swings and that puts it up a little bit higher in
your
ranking?
I would say slides are probably more important because, you know, swings, you know, it depends on the child if they're into it or not, but I've seen every child use a slide. So.
Okay. You know, sometimes those swings, a little scary.
A little bit.
Too much vert. All right, Bryant, you've been all over this city and a couple other cities. Where do you think we could really use a pocket park?
Great question. There's actually a dearth of them, I would say, in Liberty Wells. And I don't know if it's because, you know, most people just kind of default going to Liberty Park because it's so giant and massive. And there's, you know, you can do pretty much anything that you can imagine there. They have playgrounds, the aviary, you know, tennis courts. But within certain neighborhoods, like even, you know, south of 1300 South, where you can kind of get a little bit too far away from the park, I think it would be great to have an inclusion there. And then Ballpark, with it being kind of an up-and-coming neighborhood, I think it's quite natural that there should be more inclusion.
Mm-hmm. Well, we are here, like we said, in Rose Park. This is the west side of Salt Lake. I think we often feel like there is not an equitable amount of green space on the west side of the city. Have you found that to be true? Do we need more pocket parks around here?
Yeah, so one of kind of my internet projects I did was actually kind of tabulate, you know, where these parks are located based on kind of the city council district. And one kind of surprising tidbit that I learned is when you look at the number of parks, actually the west side is pretty well represented. Like the top two kind of districts that have the most parks are District 2 and District 3, which is District 2, I believe, is out here in the west side, and District 3 is up in the avenues. But when you look at, you know, the sheer acreage of green space that you're talking about, then that kind of separates out when you're talking more like District 7, the Sugar House area, and also District 3 up in the avenues have the most acreage. So on sheer number, you know, they do great. But yeah, I'd like to see maybe some larger parks. And I think maybe this new Glendale Park that they're discussing down off of 2100 South in the Glendale neighborhood will definitely work well for that area.
Bryant Heath, thanks for taking a stroll in the park with us.
I'm just going to sit back and just listen to some birds and enjoy nature.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go stare into the soul of one of these cats and see what I see. We love our public spaces in Salt Lake. And it's even better when we get a say in what they are. Salt Lakers were bummed to learn the Salt Lake Bees baseball team is moving to Daybreak. But their departure after their 2024 season opens up new opportunities for the ballpark neighborhood. Community members met this week with Mayor Aaron Mendenhall to talk about what the future holds for the Smiths Ballpark Stadium. The city's hosting a design competition for that space. It's a big lot, and it's right by public transit, so just about anything could go there. Really, the world is your oyster. The city will narrow down the proposals, and then the public will be able to vote for their favorites. The winners could be announced as early as May. Want in? The deadline for proposals is Friday, March 17th. I'll link the website in the show notes for you. That's all for us today here on CityCast Salt Lake. Thank you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more from around the city. Bye!